Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome into the San Francisco 49er Access Podcast, and today we are going to preview NFL free agency. It starts next week on Wednesday, March 13th, but we're going to have two podcasts coming out, one being today, this show, or tomorrow morning on the audio platforms, and next week on Monday, this one's going to be about who the San Francisco 49ers should retain. Of their 20 impending free agents, 19 unrestricted, one restricted free agent, who should the San Francisco 49ers try their best to bring back to make a run to the Super Bowl again next season? Then Monday, that's going to be who I believe they should target in free agency once the open market kicks off. They can go sign other players on other teams. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the show on YouTube and on the audio platforms. And without further ado, let's dive into who of the 20 impending San Francisco 49er free agents should this team do their best to retain in the free agency period starting next Wednesday, March 13th. Let's start at the very top here. Let's start with the one restricted free agent San Francisco has, and that is arguably their most important free agent, Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings, to me, embodies everything Kyle Shanahan wants in a San Francisco 49er. He blocks well. No block, no rock. He's clutch. He's called third and Juwan for a reason, and in the most pivotal stretch of this past season in the playoffs, he was arguably your best player. Now, things do get tricky when it comes to Juwan Jennings. You already have to pay Brandon Ayuk. I think they get that deal done. Both of those sides, Ayuk and San Francisco, have both said they want to get a deal done. But San Francisco has been honest and said, we're probably not going to work things out until after free agency is over, well into the OTAs and training camp period of the offseason program. And it doesn't help Juwan Jennings' case, it might help San Francisco's case, that this draft class is stacked and loaded with talent. There's rumors that there could be 10 first-round receivers. That seems a little too crazy, in my opinion. When you look at the mock drafts, there are some guys that should be second-round picks that make sense to be second, third-round picks that might go number or in the first round. But for Juwan Jennings, San Francisco does hold a lot of value, not just to his name, but what they could get back in return if they let him walk. So Juwan Jennings, former seventh-round pick, Tennessee Volunteer, there wasn't much of an expectation. He's always had that dog in him back at Tennessee, but if San Francisco places a second-round tender on Juwan Jennings, one, I believe they get to match any offer that another team decides to offer him. And two, if he leaves in free agency, San Francisco would get back a second round pick. That is the conversation. Does San Francisco value Juwan Jennings more than a potential extra second round pick? That's tough because you can find your Juwan Jennings replacement in the second round, maybe, but I'm someone of the opinion of when you get good players, you do not let them walk out the building. When you get players like Debo, Nick Bosa, guys who are at the top of their game, Fred Warner, you don't let those guys leave. But when you find people like Juwan Jennings in the seventh round that you find extremely valuable to the identity of your team, like, let me ask you this. how many other Juwan Jennings type players are there out there in the NFL? There's some, sure. But you've seen Juwan Jennings have blocking highlight tape, just blocking guys into Gatorade bottles and whatnot. Juwan Jennings isn't one of a kind, but he is certainly amongst a group you don't find very often in the NFL. Now, I don't think Juwan Jennings, because this receiver class is so stacked, will find himself getting, 3 years, $21 million. But I do think Juwan can find himself making, $15 million over 3 years, maybe $18 million over 3 years. I think San Francisco should be obliged to match that offer. If I ask you this, Deebo Samuel often injured, Brandon Ayuk, great receiver. Let's say San Francisco can't come to terms with Brandon Ayuk. Okay, so what do you do? You have to bring back Juwan Jennings. Now, again, I think they get Ayuk done, but you cannot afford to lose two receivers in this class. And here's the kicker. San Francisco can't afford to bring back all of their starting receivers next year. Juwan Jennings has been a star, underrated in this offense since 2021, when he was catching touchdown passes from Deebo Samuel in the end zone against the Rams in Week 18. When he's throwing passes and catching passes for touchdowns in the Super Bowl, why would you let your best player this past postseason leave when you can, one, match any offer? He's a restricted free agent, and I could dare say you're not going to find a Juwan Jennings replacement in free agency or the draft this year. I get you may have guys that have more speed, are better route runners, that maybe can do more things when it comes to having a better release or whatnot, working the outside of the sidelines and the seams better. What you're not going to find is a guy that is willing to block every single play, will take on cornerbacks and safeties and linebackers. And I guarantee if you said, hey, JJ, I need you to go out there and block the opposing team's best defensive end, he will say, okay, coach, I'll do whatever it takes. You're not going to find those guys everywhere. In fact, it's hard to find those guys at all. I think San Francisco needs, and I think they will indeed bring back Juwan Jennings. Then you have Randy Gregory. And I kind of put Gregory and Chase Young in the exact same category. You acquired Chase Young and Gregory at darn near the exact same time. Both mid-season acquisitions. And dare I say, outside of one, maybe two games in their tenure in San Francisco, were letdowns. We already went over the report of the team saying, we like Chase Young. We're open to bringing him back, maybe on a one-year deal. But the reality of it is, Chase Young wasn't really who we thought we were getting from the Commanders. Now, third-round pick for Chase Young, whatever. You didn't pay him much. You don't have to pay him now. But for Gregory's production, although wasn't expected to be, upper echelon defensive end, he again was a non-factor. For a guy you wanted to be a star pass rushing, at least rotational piece opposite Nick Bosa, in with Chase Young, in with Drake Jackson and Clelin Ferrell, Gregory at times was unplayable for this defense. I know Gregory's often been injured in his career. He's often had personal issues off the field. He has seemingly kind of got those things taken care of. And in the biggest game of the year, I thought Gregory was okay against Kansas City. Handful of run stops, I think, had his best game in his last game. Unfortunately, I think it was his last game in San Francisco. When you look at the free agent market, Gregory's probably going to find himself making $6 to $8 million again this year. I don't think San Francisco finds any value bringing him back. I would not bring him back. I don't see the worth in bringing him back. I do think there is maybe a potential future for Chase Young in San Francisco. But like we've talked before, other than one or two games, and I get Nick Bosa likes him, Chase Young was a disappointment. And if you are San Francisco knowing, and we'll talk about this next week, knowing you can pay for a player like Danielle Hunter, knowing you can pay for a player like Huff or Greenard from the Jets in Houston, knowing there's other guys out there like Josh Uche from the Patriots, you are opt to lean those cheaper options, bringing in two, three of those guys and paying for someone like Gregory or Chase Young, where maybe the potential's there, but the production is not consistent enough opposite guys Nick Bosa, including playing with Armstead and Hargrave for the betterment of their tenure. There just wasn't enough there to entice me to bring back Gregory or Chase Young, especially at the price tag both those guys are probably going to want. But I do want to get to Kyle Young in the chat. I bring back Clelin Ferrell, yes. I mentioned Chase Young and Gregory being in that same category, guys who you thought were going to bring you production, and in some games did, but just weren't exactly, they didn't live up to who they were supposed to be. And there's Clelin Ferrell, who was there from the beginning of training camp and OTAs, a Raider castaway like Arden Key was, brought in, and was excellent, like Colley says again, against the run. Yes, Clelin Ferrell was this team's second best edge rusher, I think, all year long. Sure, the pass rushing wasn't amazing, but while he was healthy, you were seeing Clelin Ferrell get snaps over Drake Jackson, at times over Randy Gregory, and I think at the end of the year, had there been a mixture of Chase Young and Clelin Ferrell, you know, with Gregory mixed in here or there, that would have been a lethal trio opposite Nick Bosa. But Ferrell felt like the most consistent edge rusher on this team, not named Nick Bosa. He has an injury. You're probably going to get him for cheaper. I think he liked the system. And I do think for Ferrell, had he not been injured or not gotten injured, he would see a payday equal to that of Randy Gregory this offseason. But because he got hurt, he likes the system. He likes Chris Kocurek, and you're getting back to what you have wanted to do pre-Steve Wilks. You need to have a solid run defender on that defensive line, because last year, 26th ranked run defense, you do not let a run defending edge rusher like Clelin Ferrell out the building. I don't know what his asking price is going to be, and you cannot bring back everybody, but as of now, I'm letting Chase Young go. I'm letting Gregory go. We will find cheaper options elsewhere. I am not letting Clelin Ferrell leave that building simply because this defense struggled to set the edge at the end of the year. Once Ferrell left and got injured, this defense struggled to set the edge against the Packers, against the Lions. And no, Farrell's not going to fix that by himself, but he's going to certainly improve your run defense, forcing whether it's quarterbacks, receivers on end arounds, or running backs back inside, flushing them into Armstead and Hargrave and your linebackers, allowing your team to tackle and stuff outside runs. I would bring back Clelin Ferrell. Let's stay on the defensive line for a second because they have a handful. This defensive line is going to be depleted heading into the draft and free agency. Let's go with Javon Kinlaw next. Javon Kinlaw did not miss a practice this year. From OTAs to training camp to mini camp to the preseason to the actual season, Javon Kinlaw was the healthiest he has ever been, arguably in his entire career, at least since the NFL. Javon Kinlaw had his best and most complete season, and it showed. Javon Kinlaw was great this year for the San Francisco 49ers. Sure, there were some off games here or there, but overall, when you lose Arik Armstead for a large chunk of the season, Javon Kinlaw was able to step in and give you valuable production. Now, here's the kicker. I have no problem retaining Javon Kinlaw, depending on what he asks, but there is critical injury history behind him. His knees, you'd like to think after one healthy season, okay, is that going to be who you are going forward? Are you going to be somewhat of an Iron Man for me going forward? History would say no, which is why I think if you are San Francisco, you are reluctant to pay Javon Kinlaw a large chunk of money or commit to him for multiple seasons. If it's me, I'm going the Clelin Ferrell route here. Hey, we'll give you a year and $4 million. We'll maybe give you 2 years if we're pushing it, and I'll give you two and I'll give you $7 or $6 million. I'm not going to commit big money to Javon Kinlaw. I do not like rewarding one complete healthy season of the four you've had. Now, can injuries be behind him? Sure. I'm okay with rewarding this year if it's a cheap 1 year, kind of reprove it to me, right? Clelin Ferrell had a good year. He needs to continue to prove he can be healthy and one, sustain that the way he played this past year for San Francisco. The same thing goes for Javon Kinlaw. Right, Kinlaw, number 13 overall pick, the talent's always been there. The body has never been right outside of 1 year. I would like to bring back Javon knowing that this defensive line is going to be depleted, knowing you have two 31-year-old defensive tackles in Hargrave and Armstead, one of them missing a chunk of time the past two seasons. You want to have that starting caliber defensive tackle behind at least one of them. Javon Kinlaw can be that when it comes to his upside. He's a solid enough run defender. He's gotten better in pass rush, but just really isn't there for this team. I do think if you are Javon in San Francisco, he's comfortable here. It's a system he knows. And unless someone's going to pay up big money for Javon Kinlaw, I doubt that happens. Unless they see, hey, former first round pick, best year of his career, let's strike while the iron's hot. I have a hard time believing we're not going to see Javon Kinlaw back in San Francisco unless like the Jets or the Texans want to bring him on like Saleh and Ryans may like him a lot. But I think Kinlaw makes a lot of sense to retain 1 year, continue to prove it option and deal for San Francisco. Then you have Sebastian Joseph Day.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And again, another mid-season defensive line acquisition. What week like 13 or 15, whenever it was for San Francisco, got released by the Chargers. Ironically, his former head coach and essentially defensive coordinator is now in San Francisco as an assistant in Brandon Staley. Could there be a connection there? Could he find more value in Sebastian Joseph Day, who really was a massive non-factor for San Francisco? Didn't see the field much. And when he did, there wasn't much to be impressed about, but maybe there is a commonality, if that's even a word, between him and Brandon Staley of like, hey, I like Sebastian Joseph Day. He can be a depth piece. He started for me in Los Angeles. He can be valuable behind players like Armstead and Javon Hargrave. As my camera goes out on the YouTube stream, I apologize for that. But let's continue here talking. Sebastian Joseph Day, to me, is someone you bring in to be your fourth, fifth, maybe even sixth defensive tackle behind Armstead and Hargrave. Like, if you ask me this, if we walked into next season with nearly the exact same group of Armstead, Hargrave, Kinlaw as your third, and the next guy I want to talk about here, Kevin Givens as your fourth, I'm really comfortable with those four guys. And then you add in Kalia Davis and Sebastian Joseph Day with T.Y. McGill behind them as kind of a practice squad vet player, I am certainly okay with that defensive line group on the interior. That being said, Sebastian Joseph Day can't be brought in and be a non-factor. To me, I think Sebastian Joseph Day cost himself money coming to San Francisco. Yeah, he wanted to win and whatnot, but he did not win himself any fans. He won nobody over in that building. And I think if you are San Francisco, unlike Kinlaw, where if you're going to pay up, you actually are rewarding good play. Sebastian Joseph Day, you're kind of rewarding previous history of play, where for him, you have to ask yourself, he's an older player. He isn't super old, but he's an older player, older than Givens and Kinlaw. Is he worth paying $2-4 million to for one more year when you can find players like, again, T.Y. McGill, maybe you draft a guy here or there to replace him when he already wasn't really producing for you behind your starters? I can take it or leave it with Sebastian Joseph Day. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes somewhere else this offseason, but I do wonder if that connection to Brandon Staley keeps him in. So far, we've only technically retained two people, Cleland Farrell and Juwan Jennings. We are, depending on the money, okay bringing back Javon Kinlaw. We're not bringing back Chase Young. We're not bringing back Randy Gregory. We would like to bring back Kevin Givens. I think Givens is their third best defensive tackle. He would start over Javon Kinlaw. But other than that, I mean, I'd rather have Givens back than Kinlaw, in my opinion. But it all depends on money. San Francisco has to restructure a handful of people, extend Brandon Ayuk. And again, it all depends on what they're going to offer and maybe match for Juwan Jennings. But of the few people we've already talked about, I'm not bringing back a lot of the defensive line pieces outside of Clelin Ferrell. He's the only bona fide guy I need to have back in the building. And maybe Kevin Givens in that group as well. But other than that, on the defensive line, that's really it for me. Then you have Juwan Jennings being the only offensive player thus far we've talked about I would bring back. Let's stick on defense, though, for a second, because San Francisco has a massive question to ask themselves. You are likely not going to have a 100% healthy Dre Greenlaw to begin the year. And can you rely on rookies or second-year pros now, guys going into their sophomore NFL campaign in Dee Winters, who didn't see the field much, or Jalen Graham, who really didn't see the field at all this past year? Are you comfortable going into the year giving them an opportunity and maybe drafting a guy or signing someone else in free agency? Everyone's pointing to Azeez Al-Shaire. Maybe that's a piece. There's certainly Quan Alexander out there who was hurt this past year, but already knows this system and can offer valuable veteran, a veteran presence in that linebacker room opposite Fred Warner. But now you also have Oren Burks and Demetrius Flanagan Falls. I thought DFF, what happened with him last year was they re-signed him, they cut him, they brought him back on a cheaper deal, knowing that he's a valuable special team asset to them. Then you have Oren Burks, who Oren Burks was kind of a starter, but certainly a bench linebacker, but saw the field a lot when San Francisco ran their three linebacker sets and did replace Dre Greenlaw when he got injured during the Super Bowl. For Oren Burks, I thought he was okay. I thought he was fine. I felt bad because he was excellent in tackling. The issue was he gave Travis Kelce anything he wanted in pass coverage. You are going to see a dip in pass coverage no matter who you have out there. If it's Oren Burks or Demetrius Flanagan Falls, I would like to bring at least one of those guys back. And by the way, Flanagan Falls played on special teams and in the Super Bowl, I would opt to bring him back, probably a cheaper deal than Oren Burks would be wanting for or asking for. And if that's the case, and if San Francisco has to penny pinch here or there, I'd rather you go into next year with Fred Warner, Demetrius Flanagan Falls, Dee Winters, Jalen Graham, and insert either a rookie that's kind of a third or fourth round pick to start for you, or find a, you know, crafty veteran that can come in and start instantly. Maybe they view that veteran player as Oren Burks, having been here the past 2 years. But I think one thing with Oren Burks is he cannot guard a tight end. He cannot guard an opposing team's, you know, nickel, or excuse me, third receiver. Like, you're going to have to find your, like, do you trust Oren Burks being the second linebacker on the field when you run nickel? The reality of it is probably not. I would not trust Oren Burks to be my second linebacker. In spurts, sure. On a handful of plays in the game, fine. Not, you know, chunks of a season. Now, if Dre Greenlaw's back and healthy, okay, maybe Oren Burks is just there to insulate the room and give you some depth. But if that's the case, I'd much rather have DFF in that building. He'll be super cheap. I highly doubt he asks for more than $3 million. I think you get him as a special teams guy, you retain him, and you don't crush yourself in regards to the salary cap having to extend or maneuver more money to bring back someone like Oren Burks, right? You can find a cheaper option already on your free agency pool named Demetrius Flanagan Falls, who may offer you more versatility at a cheaper price than Oren Burks special teams. And I do think did at least show me something in the Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs to say, okay, maybe there's more to warrant me bringing him back for another year. Let's go to the secondary now, because there isn't many free agents here, right? Mooney Ward's under contract. Lenore's under contract, Ambry Thomas under contract, and then you have Womack and Luter behind them. You have five cornerbacks under contract. Now, I would extend Mooney Ward. I would maybe make a new deal for Lenore. Probably not going to happen until next year, mind you, but you extend Mooney Ward, get rid of his void years, and you can bring some other guys in to round out that secondary. But San Francisco does indeed have two safeties, or maybe a nickelback in Logan Ryan's case, that are going to hit free agency. And this is kind of an easy decision for me. Logan Ryan's a free agent, veteran piece who played pretty well against Travis Kelce in that first half. What, one catch for 1 yard in the Super Bowl? But a bigger body guy who I think you only look to bring back if you have exhausted every option for a veteran safety behind Jair, Brown, and Hufanga. But we've seen like 9 starting safeties get cut in the past day or so. Quandre Diggs, Jordan Poyer, Jamal Adams, Micah Hyde. There's a handful of veteran starting caliber safeties on the market already. And I'm sure plenty more will be out there once the free agency period starts. And that's only the top guys I've named. And there's plenty other guys out there. I'm not bringing back Logan Ryan unless it's like a 1 year, $1 million deal. You can be a training camp invite. You're not going to make a lot of money. You can go on those Disneyland cruises once you get cut again by this team. Then there is Tashaun Gibson, where if Gibson wants to play again on a 1 year deal, run things back, maybe you can get your ring and bring back a championship with, you know, one more year. Let's run everything all the way back. Cool, fine, great. I will bring back Gip. He has been spectacular next to Hufanga. And in the likely absence of Hufanga, it pays to have a veteran player across from Jair Brown. Now, again, we'll get into more of who I think they should target in free agency next week, but if San Francisco wants a cheaper veteran option and Gibson wants to return, yes, bring him back. He knows the system. He has a lot of chemistry with these safeties. And Hufanga and Brown want to learn. If you want them to learn from somebody, it is Tashaun Gibson Sr. He ain't the fastest guy, ain't the biggest guy, but he likes to tackle. He's good in coverage and is a smart, intelligent veteran safety. Where, again, if you're not going to have Hufanga, and you're going to have Jair Brown, a recovering Hufanga, and a George Odom. If Gibson wants to return, yes, 1,000 times yes, bring him back. But if he's not going to want to return, you can point to guys like Quandre Diggs, Lonnie Johnson, Tracy Walker, veteran options that are going to be a little cheaper than the top dogs like Micah Hyde or even Jordan Poyer from the Buffalo Bills, who was recently cut. I do think there is a connection with Quandre Diggs and Nick Sorensen. If you look at Quandre Diggs' Twitter, which doesn't mean much, but he did congratulate Nick Sorensen saying, "That's my guy." I don't know exactly what Diggs will want in free agency, but I do think he certainly is at least going to be in a conversation for a start until Hufanga gets healthy, and once he gets healthy, we will assess that safety room. If San Francisco wants to play a 3-safety set, Quandre Diggs makes a ton of sense to have in the building. And if you want to have a guy in training camp, in OTAs, someone else for the younger safeties in that room, Taylor Hawkins, Jair Brown, Hufanga, to pick their mind, Quandre Diggs makes a ton of sense. He knows the system. He has connections here. There's going to be very little learning curve to how this defense runs, already having played in it for a handful of years in Seattle. But again, if you can bring back Gibson, bring him back. If not, there are a ton of veteran free agent safeties out there you can probably find to an eerily similar contract value that Gibson might want in return. And Logan Ryan, buddy, I like you. You were nice down the stretch for us in spurts, but ultimately you are a late season pickup that is likely going to find himself either retiring or in the exact same position he was this past year. I don't think I'm missing anybody on defense, so let's go to the offense and let's start at the quarterback position. San Francisco already has their starting franchise quarterback locked up. It's Brock Purdy. That's the guy. The cheapest, best value deal in the entire NFL. We all know the story about Brock Purdy. Went to an NFC Championship and a Super Bowl. But what has San Francisco decided to do behind him? They're going to insulate that room and get a good quarterback number two. Get a good backup quarterback. Get a good quarterback three in case something insane happens like 2022 where everybody got hurt. This past year, their backup quarterback was Sam Darnold. Darnold beat out Trey Lance, and Brandon Allen also beat out Trey Lance. But San Francisco has both of those players now as or impending free agents. So you now only have one quarterback on your roster locked up for this upcoming season. If you are San Francisco, if you listen to what Diana Rossini said of The Athletic, I believe on The Athletic Football Podcast, she mentioned that with the salary cap rising, NFL teams are not changing their draft motto, like what they're going to do in the draft, their draft plans or their free agency plans. But she did say that other teams are going to look at the backup quarterback position and prioritize bringing in somebody to back up either their star or insulate their room as San Francisco did the past couple seasons. We've already seen Trubisky get cut and then signed by Buffalo once again. And I'm going to assume with a lot of backup quarterbacks on the open market, we are going to see teams say, hey, after a year where it seemed like half the NFL's starting quarterbacks got hurt, we have to find a solid backup quarterback to aid us in a playoff hunt. Like, imagine the Vikings, who started four different quarterbacks this year, having just one stud backup quarterback or a player that can actually lead them and win a handful of games. That's not Nick Mullins. That's not always Joshua Dobbs. It certainly isn't Jaren Hall, right? The Bengals had Brandon Allen. They had Browning this past year, right? They had Badgett in Chicago that won them some games. I do think, like Rossini says, okay, if the NFL and other teams are going to prioritize backup quarterbacks, I think Sam Darnold would like to return to San Francisco. But if a team like the Broncos comes calling, a team like the Vikings come calling, a team like the Falcons come calling saying, hey, we have a rookie. We want you to either be the bridge quarterback for us or back up our star caliber quarterback. Would you come here? I don't see why you would say no if you were Sam Darnold, especially if they're going to offer you more money than San Francisco would. Like, San Francisco, I think, goes into next year with Brock Purdy as their starting quarterback, then Brandon Allen as their number two. Because, look, Brandon Allen backed up Joe Burrow. Why couldn't he back up Brock Purdy? Like, I don't like the idea of, well, Brandon Allen stinks. You haven't seen him in a game. Yeah, he isn't great. If he was great, he'd be a starter. But the reality of the situation is San Francisco will likely have to let Sam Darnold leave in the offseason and then bring back Brandon Allen to be this team's quarterback too. If you feel comfortable trading your first round number three overall pick, who you traded three first round draft picks for, to keep Brandon Allen over him, you better bring back Brandon Allen as your quarterback to the following season. I think that's exactly what happens this offseason for San Francisco. He'll be cheaper. I do think he is, like, when you listen to reporters talk about who Brock Purdy talks to in that quarterback room the most, it ain't Sam Darnold. It's Brandon Allen. I think Brandon Allen means more to Brock Purdy's, I don't want to say intelligence or mindset, but Brock Purdy leans on Brandon Allen in that room. It would be the best for the team itself and for Brock Purdy if they retained Brandon Allen. San Francisco has no free agent running backs, so let's move on to tight ends.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We already talked about Juwan Jennings. We will get to Ray McCloud in a second, but I want to get to tight ends because San Francisco and John Lynch made it a point to say we need a number two tight end behind George Kittle. Now, Kittle is the bona fide number one. There are just really nobody else in the NFL outside of maybe Travis Kelce that can do what George Kittle does. And I would like to think after watching two Super Bowls where George Kittle's a non-factor basically through both of them, San Francisco, and openly admitted this, they want to make it a point to bring in a backup tight end that can run block, can be valuable in the passing game. They tried that in 2020 when they brought in Jordan Reed. Then Kittle got hurt. Then Reed got hurt when Kittle came back healthy and vice versa. That, I think, is what they're going to try again. And don't forget, they brought in Jordan Reed. They drafted Charlie Warner. They already had Ross Dwelly. This past year, they drafted Braden Willis in the 7th round or 6th round, whatever it was. And then they drafted Cam Latu, who didn't play at all this year, who I would like to think, if they believed in, and he wasn't some vanilla prospect where you don't see much in regards to, you know, he's not a physical specimen. He has dropping issues. He doesn't block very well. I don't know what exactly they see. Like Call the Young ass, does he make the roster? Maybe. But I can also see Cam Latu being a former third-round running back like Trey Sermon, like Tydavis Price, getting cut in a year. There's a reason why they had to bring back Ross Dwelly, Charlie Warner. Cam Latu was the worst tight end in training camp this past year. Troy Fumagalli outplayed Cam Latu. The difference is he didn't have that third-round draft stock next to his name. Can Cam Latu surprise us? Sure. I hope he plays great. It benefits myself and the team. And if it helps the team, bring it on. But San Francisco is going to want to go out there and find themselves a number two tight end option that can also block and be good enough in the passing game to alleviate George Kittle of his inline tight end, be the sixth, you know, offensive lineman for us in the biggest game of the year. Charlie Warner, great blocker, not a good receiver. Ross Dwelly, a average, maybe above average receiving tight end, not a great blocker. They do not have someone that can do both. They're super hard to find, but I can also tell you it's not Braden Willis and it's not Cam Latu. Now, Jonnu Smith already got signed, and I'm certainly okay with bringing back somebody like Charlie Warner or even bringing back the entire tight end room just for OTAs and training camp and minicamp. Willis will be back. Latu will be back. There's comfortability with Warner and Dwelly, but I would like to think San Francisco is going to value a tight end as a number two that has the ability to block and be a receiver, whereas now they have a bunch of guys that can do one thing well. They can block well, but they can't receive well. They can receive well, but they can't block well. They have to find the guy behind Kittle that can do both simultaneously, and it's not anybody on the current roster. But on cheap deals, I would bring all these guys back. That being said, I do think Charlie Warner finds himself elsewhere this offseason. I do think teams value a blocking tight end. I do think a team like the Ravens makes a ton of sense for Charlie Warner. I get the Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely. Mark Andrews is always hurt. If you want to go to a team like the Jets or Houston, who has a Dalton Schultz high-paid money, you bring in Charlie Warner to block for CJ Stroud in DeMeco Ryans and Bobby Slowick's offense. It makes a ton of sense. I think Charlie Warner actually gets paid a little bit this offseason and prices himself out of San Francisco's market. And I do think they bring back Ross Dwelly because him and Kittle are close and he knows the system very well. If you can't find that tight end number two either in the draft or in free agency, you want to at least have one guy that knows this system. And outside of Braden Willis, who didn't play much last year, and an injured Cam Latu, that is Ross Dwelly. You want to bring back Warner, but I do think Warner prices himself out and you find yourself sitting there saying, hey, Ross Dwelly, come on down. Come on back to San Francisco. Let's go to the offensive line for a second because I do want to leave Chris Conley and McCloud for last. We need to talk about the offensive line because San Francisco finds themselves in a position where from center to the left, they're good. I have a hard time believing they're going to replace Trent Williams because that would just be the dumbest thing ever. But I also have a hard time believing they're going to replace Aaron Banks, former second-round pick, and Kyle Shanahan loves to have a veteran center. Alex Mack, Weston Richburg, now Jake Brendel. I have a hard time believing Jake Brendel does not make this team next year. He is this team's starting center. Makes the most sense to be this team's starting center. Sure. Was he perfect this past year? No. Was it a step down from 2022? Yes, it was. But he was still a valuable, solid enough veteran center that Kyle Shanahan likes. But it is the right side of the offensive line. Right guard and right tackle. I am someone who firmly believes San Francisco is going to be in the market for an elite edge rusher during free agency. I am also someone who believes they are going to likely sign or draft a right tackle in the first round. Okay, you have right tackle figured out. Where does that leave you for your impending free agents? You have Ben Bartsch, a guy you got off the Jacksonville Jaguars practice squad, didn't play much, but I think could be a camp body. If he wants to come back, great. If you don't want to come back, whatever, sayonara, see ya. Then you have Matt Pryor. If you find yourself a right tackle in the draft that you think, hey, that's my starter, and you move either Colton McKivitz to your swing tackle or your backup right guard position, Matt Pryor, who was atrocious this past year for San Francisco in preseason, in training camp, being beat left and right, see ya. Sayonara, I can find somebody else in that building. He was a bona fide inactive almost every single week. Goodbye. Don't need you. See you later. But that brings us to the biggest name on their offensive line free agency list of John Feliciano. I know John Feliciano was calling out people during the post-Super Bowl hangover. Literally for him, a hangover, as he said. They have seemingly put that behind them, and the team has said they want to bring back John Feliciano. I'm cool with that. He's a great run blocker. He's a good enough pass blocker. Had he been on the field on that last kind of goal line stand or red zone trip for San Francisco, maybe he makes that block and they win that game. Who knows? We'll never know. But I do think it's worth paying John Feliciano some money. I also think for San Francisco, you find yourself, if you can draft the right tackle, if you can bring back Feliciano, which is what I would do. Like, everyone's saying, go pay for a right guard, Robert Hunt or Amenwu from the Patriots, and just beef up your offensive line. What San Francisco has to pay and who they have to pay? Ayuk, probably Juwan Jennings. If you're going to want to beef up your defensive line, I do think it makes the most sense when it comes to value and financially to draft your right tackle and bring back John Feliciano and kind of run this thing back via the offensive line and then add yourself some depth behind making McKivitz that swing tackle again, making Burford your kind of backup guard on both ends. You get a healthy Nick Zakel back in that group. Maybe you bring back a Ben Bartsch or you draft somebody else. There are plenty of ways to beef up your trenches while having a very similar team to next year. It's just maneuvering pieces around to say, hey, the potential is better. The depth also gets better once you bring in drafting a right tackle, bring back Feliciano. You strengthen your team by only making one change. I think that makes the most sense for the Niners. Now we can get to receivers. We already talked about bringing back Juwan Jennings. That makes sense. He is, to me, their most important impending free agent, because Brandon Ayuk is not a free agent this year. Then you have people like Chris Conley and Ray McCloud. Now, Chris Conley had his best game of the season in the Super Bowl. Handful of amazing tackles, had a big catch on third down for the offense. Chris Conley's a guy you can find during training camp, during OTAs, a vet guy. He's essentially Willie Snead IV again, a guy who you likely know is going to be available, not going to get a big contract. If he's there, he's there. If he's not, he's not. I like Chris Conley. He adds value to your room. He's a veteran. He's savvy. He's been there. He's done that. He's played in big games. But he also is someone who likely is your 5th, 6th, 7th receiver on your team. And is a veteran practice squad stash, which then he is activated for game day once the season hits the big time moments like playoffs or late in the season. So take it or leave it. You can bring him back. You cannot. It doesn't matter to me. If he's back, great. If he's not, eh, whatever. I think one of the bigger ones, and this kind of ties into Oren Burks, Demetrius Flanagan Falls, George Odom, who isn't a free agent, and then you have yourself Ray McLeod. Ray McLeod, to me, is someone that I would not bring back. I would not bring back Ray McLeod. It's funny because with McLeod, and I apologize for the audio stream, Wi-Fi is going crazy right now, so excuse me. There'll be an audio version of the show on YouTube as well as the video version if it is glitching out for you. But as it goes out, of course. Anyways, I think Ray McLeod is somebody that you do not need to bring back. I think he is someone who you can get angry for what happened in the Super Bowl with the muffed punt. It's one time. He's a valuable piece to the offense. He's someone who you look at and say, wow, like you would like to bring him back simply because what he does for you as a punt returner and as a special teams player is super valuable. San Francisco has been wanting and needing a kick returner and punt returner for a long time. I mean, they put guys like Kyle Williams and Alan Rossum. Trenton Holiday has been back there. Richie James Jr. They just can't seem to figure out who the guy is going to be. And McLeod has stabilized that position. But I do think San Francisco needs to find themselves a more lethal returner. Now, I'm not asking for, you know, 5 touchdowns a year, but I am asking for, can you just do me a job of giving me, you know, 22 yards of kick return? Can you give me 11 yards on punt returns? And I do think San Francisco can actually save themselves some money by not bringing back McLeod. I think he, well, hasn't priced himself out of the market for San Francisco. He has actually, what he's done for himself has made himself probably a receiver 3 or 4 on a bad team. And I do think somebody else might pay up for him. And San Francisco might sit back and say, hey, if we can save ourselves $2-4 million and put that somewhere else in the roster or pay a young rookie that exact same money, we will do that. So of their impending free agents, I'm technically like only wanting to bring back Juwan Jennings, Brandon Allen, Ross Dwelly if Charlie Warner will not return, Demetrius Flanagan Falls, Kevin Givens, John Feliciano, and Claren Farrell, but guys like Gregory and Chase Young and Sam Darnold and Kinlaw and Gibson if he retires, Sebastian Joseph Day, Oren Burks, McLeod, Logan Ryan, Conley, Pryor, Barch, and Warner, they can all go, and San Francisco will find themselves sitting back saying, hey, you know, we have a lot of money to spend if we can restructure guys, but also we're not losing too much talent. Yeah, there's some depth that'll be gone. We have 11 draft picks. You have to think, of their 20 impending free agents, if you bring back 4 or 5, you insert 11 guys in that group, and that's not including the guys you can sign elsewhere from other teams in free agency. I think San Francisco is going to find themselves in a good position when free agency starts and once it's all over. I do think San Francisco is going to be in a good spot again next year once it begins. But that's all I have for you today. NFL free agency starts next Wednesday. Stay tuned. Monday, we will then talk about who I want San Francisco to target from other teams when free agency begins. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and leave that review on the audio and on YouTube. I apologize for the Wi-Fi glitching out, but there will be an audio version of the show on YouTube as well. So again, don't forget to like, share, subscribe, leave that review. Don't forget to follow us on social media at 49ers_access is the Twitter or X. 49ers.access is the Instagram. And you can also use their promo code 49ersaccess, 49ersaccess.com, and save yourself $20 off your first purchase at SeatGeek.com. My name is Sterling Bennett. And as always, until next time, stay faithful.